This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, When Anger Becomes Bitterness.
My sermon is entitled, When Anger Becomes Bitterness. The names of Gilbert and Sullivan are well known by all lovers of music. They produced 14 operas together in a period from 1871 to 1896. Gilbert's words allied with Sullivan's music produced magic. The tragedy, however, is that the two men hated each other. The problem arose because Sullivan, listen to this, does it sound like a church thing? The problem arose because Sullivan ordered some carpet for the theater that they had bought, and when Gilbert saw the bill, he hit the roof. Neither could control his temper, and the two battled it out in court. They never spoke to one another again as long as they lived. Can you imagine, over a carpet? When Sullivan wrote the music for a new production, he mailed it to Gilbert. When Gilbert wrote the words, he mailed it back to Sullivan. Once they were forced to be together during a curtain call, but they both stood on opposite sides of the stage and bowed in different directions so they couldn't see each other. They knew how to make beautiful music, but they knew nothing about harmony. What makes you angry? Do you get angry? How do you handle your anger? Those are the questions I'd like to talk about this morning. The capacity for angry feelings is in our DNA. It's part of your and my human nature. If you go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21, you see the whole list of things that fall into our flesh. It's a number of things that are inherent in there. And Galatians 5:20 names wrath as one of the parts of our human nature, wrath. Wrath means prone to outbursts of anger. We're prone to that. We're given to that. I've dealt with that in my own life, and perhaps you have too. We all get angry at some point over something or someone. Well, listen to this. The Bible tells us that even God gets angry. When it comes to the sins of Israel, listen to what Numbers 32:10 records. And the Lord's anger was kindled. It was aroused. God got angry at the sins of Israel. Nehemiah tells us that though God gets angry, he balances that anger with other qualities of his nature. Look at Nehemiah 9:17. The last half of the verse says this, "But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsook them not." Those last three words, "forsookest them not," you know what that means? That even though God's people mess up all the time, he doesn't forsake us. He doesn't give up on us. He doesn't hold back on his forgiveness. He doesn't hold back on his mercy. He doesn't hold back on his grace. And he doesn't hold back on his unfailing love. And aren't you glad he doesn't? Which one of you deserves God's grace and mercy and unfailing love and forgiveness? It isn't me. It isn't you either. We have so much to learn about our own anger, so much to experience, and I pray that this morning the Holy Spirit will be our teacher. What are some of the things that make people angry? You may be in this list. And this is just a list of four things. So here are four sources of people's anger. Number one, jealousy. Jealousy can be a source of anger. You may remember this account that after David killed the giant Goliath, and that army was destroyed. You may remember that he and the king, Saul, went kind of on a triumphant crusade back to home. They went up and down the streets of many, many cities. And as they went down, up and down those streets, every city they entered, the women would pour out into the streets and they'd be singing and they'd be dancing and they'd be playing musical instruments and they'd probably be throwing rose petals or some other flowers out in the path of David and Saul. But here's what the people were singing when David and Saul went through the city. They said this, Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. So here's the king in the chariot, and here's this little squirt named David. They've got some wonderful victories, but everybody is lifting up David to the exclusion of the king. And listen to Saul's reaction. It's found in 1 Samuel 18, verses 8 and 9. And this is what it says. And Saul was very wroth, very angry. He had outbursts. And the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they've ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. Saul isn't getting the recognition he thinks he deserves. Have you ever been angry because you felt you weren't getting the recognition that you deserved? On the job, sometimes people feel they're not getting the acclaim that they deserve. In Hollywood, certainly, that's all they really want is acclaim. They want to be recognized for what it is they've done. And Saul is saying to himself, you know, David is really looking better than me at this point. Pretty soon he'll be the king and I'll be out. Someone wrote a little line, always the young stranger, always somebody coming up to get to the leader and take him down. And that's how the king is feeling right now. He's looking at David and he said, David is handsome, David is strong, David is young, and David is better than me. And the Bible goes on to say, but from that moment on, Saul kept his jealous eyes, his anger-filled eyes on young David. He was, in his anger, really waiting for David to fall. How many people do you know who really kind of get pretty worked up happily when they see somebody whom they don't like going through a tough time? Come on, be honest. Imagine I have to say that in church. We have these feelings sometimes when somebody who we have bad feelings toward is doing bad. And you know what? The Bible says we're supposed to rejoice with those who rejoice and cry with those who cry, but instead we're rejoicing because they're hurting. It happens. It's human. Number two, unfair treatment can be a source of anger. As the Jewish leader Nehemiah focused on rebuilding the broken down walls of Jerusalem, he finds something out as he goes around talking to the people. How's the work going? How are things going? And the people say, well, let me tell you something. Things aren't going very well. We've got a bunch of unscrupulous community leaders and politicians, and what they're doing is they are cheating, taking our taxes and using them for other purposes than building the walls of Jerusalem up. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds awful contemporary to me here in 2016. It sounds like we've been paying all this money in gasoline taxes and all this money in taxes to keep the roads fixed. And what happened to that tax money? Politicians stole it. What happened to the teachers' pension and the public workers' pensions? What happened to all that money that went in there? It was borrowed by the politicians of the state of New Jersey to do other things. And now what's happening to those pensions? So, of course, Nehemiah gets all worked up when he hears this. Sometimes I get all worked up when I hear what our favorite politicians are doing in Washington and even in the state. Nehemiah 5:7, here's his reaction. And I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. The people on top are ripping us off. Isn't there a sense of that in our country today, that people are very, very angry? We see it manifested in a variety of ways. What do you do with it? Have you ever felt that kind of unfair treatment on your own, by your boss maybe? Have you ever felt that kind of treatment by your family or your friends, that you're not being treated fairly by the people around you? You feel unappreciated today? Do you look at yourself, and this is the big byword of our day, it's not fair. It's not fair. What they're doing to me is not fair. What just happened is not fair. What's happening around me is not fair. Who said it was going to be fair? Fairness is the rallying cry for angry people to justify their anger. Number three, disappointment can be a source of anger. Despite Saul's son Jonathan's effort to settle the rift between the king and David, and this was a big one, Saul continues to make attempts on David's life. In fact, during an evening meal, Saul throws a javelin at his own son in an effort to keep his mouth shut about trying to make the case for letting David live. Saul wants him killed, and his son Jonathan is making the case to let his friend David live. And Saul got so angry that he picked up a javelin and throws it at his son. Have you ever been so angry that you wanted to storm out of the house, or that you wanted to throw something at somebody and really, really let go? Isaiah 20 verse 34. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had done him shame. The circumstances in your life may have led to disappointment. Are you experiencing that this morning? That life just feels like it's full of disappointments. You're disappointed with your job. You're disappointed with your circumstances. You're disappointed with your own health issues. Disappointed at school. Disappointment because of your finances. Disappointment because you had a dream and your dream failed. People will disappoint you and me at every turn. But the question is, how do you handle when things don't go your way? How do you handle when things don't go the way you expected or hoped them to? Do you get angry when things don't go your way? Do you take your marbles and go home? That's what they used to do when I was a kid. You know, they didn't like the way the ball game was. We used to do stickball in Brooklyn, okay? Between the two parked cars, you're on the street. The sewer cap was your home base usually. And then they'd use something else. It would be the tire of the Chevy on this side. It would be the other sewer cap down there and the tire of the Ford. So you had first base a tire, second base was another sewer cap, and third base was another tire. And if somebody didn't like the way the game was going, if he was the person who brought the ball, give me my ball, I'm going home. I mean, the ball was a critical thing. We could have gotten a stick anyway. We could have used one of our friends for a stick, for Pete's sake. But the ball was critical. You don't like the way things go, you decide you're going to go home. You decide you're not going to show up the next time. Whatever it is, you're going to take your toys and you're going to leave. Number four, harsh treatment can be a source of anger. Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Some young people are living with the consequences of an abusive parent, an abusive father, an abusive mother, who verbally abused them, emotionally abused them, sexually abused them, physically abused them. And these kids are carrying these things in their heart and in their soul and in their mind and living out that abuse day after day after day. You don't have any idea. There could even be people in this room this afternoon who have been so abused by somebody they love and so hurt emotionally by the people they love. And how do they handle it? Well, so many times it turns to anger. How do you treat others? Are you the source of someone else's anger? Have you thought about that? Do you hurt other people? Insensitivity, judgmental attitude, bullying, unkind, uncaring attitude, talking down to people. What makes you angry? Do you even know what makes you angry? What do you do about your anger? Anger is one letter short of the word danger. Because your anger can be very dangerous when it's let loose. In an article about bitterness, author Max Lucado relates the following real story. "It's not fair." That's what Wanda Holloway of Channel View, Texas said when it looked like her 14-year-old daughter wouldn't get elected to the cheerleading squad. Wanda got angry. She decided to get even. Thank you, Mr. Kennedy. She hired a hitman to kill the mother of her daughter's chief competitor, hoping to so upset the girl that Wanda's daughter would make the squad. "I'll have the mother shot, and that'll make the girl who's in competition with my daughter so preoccupied with her mother's death that my daughter will get up on top. Anger, bitterness will do that to you. It'll cause you to burn down your own house to kill a rat." Fortunately, her plan failed, and Wanda Holloway was caught. She was sentenced to 15 years behind bars. But the truth be known, she didn't have to be put behind bars, because anger and bitterness is its own prison. Trapped. The Bible says gives us some instruction on handling anger and angry feelings. Here are four ways. Number one, you create and you control your own anger. Proverbs 29:11 says this, "A fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards." Some people believe there isn't much they can do about their angry feelings, because they believe those feelings are caused by what's happening to them, by what somebody else did. No. It's how you responded to what somebody else did. Proverbs 29:11 says, "If you don't have to vent your anger. You're in control of that anger with God's help." The verse says, with God's help, you have the capacity to manage your anger, or it will manage you. What are you doing? There are healthy ways to deal with anger. There are negative, unhealthy ways to deal with anger. There are ways to deal with anger. God's not saying, don't be angry. He said, be angry. We'll get to that. Choose a better way. Number two, choose a better way to manage your anger. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and sin not. So God in this verse is acknowledging that there will be times when you will be angry and you're justified. It's a justified thing that God built into you. It's there. But you can deal with your anger in healthy ways. In other words, going out and hiring a hit person to knock off your daughter's competitor's mother is not healthy. In fact, I don't even think it's sane. So what do you do? Angry feelings can be poisonous. Have you ever been angry? Do you remember the last time you were angry and how it felt? Do you remember what it did inside of you? You remember how the pressure kind of built up inside of you and what that felt like? Medical community says anger can cause major health problems when it's allowed to build up inside of you. It can cause heart disease. It can cause high blood pressure. It can give you a stroke. It can give you gastrointestinal symptoms. Blowing up in an effort to release your anger may seem like the appropriate response. Okay, I've got all this anger inside of me. The thing I should do is just let it out. In her book, Help for Your Emotions, Lynn Clark, a PhD, writes this, quote, "It's a myth to believe my only two choices regarding my anger are to express it or hold it in. Actually, there is another choice. Turn it down." But how do we do that? Number three, God has given healing power to the passage of time. What a wonderful two verses. James 1:19-20. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God." James writes, when angry feelings rise up, you slow down. Angry feelings rise up, you slow down. You turn the heat down. You walk away. You pause. Your first reaction is get this thing off my chest, and that will make it better. But God's word and research that is secular even says it ain't so. Someone wrote, the trouble with letting off steam is that it only gets you in more hot water. I think that's the best scientific way to say it. It's best to find another way. Mrs. Fulton Orlis, whose husband wrote the classic book on the life of Christ, The Greatest Story Ever Told, once said she used to count to 10 when she got angry to slow things down. But then, one day, she found something better. She thought on the first 10 words of the Lord's Prayer. Now, instead of counting to 10, she slowly repeated those words, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Repeat it with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So when you're angry, how about pausing? How about just taking those 10 words and repeating them and praying them over and over in your mind? Your name is holy, Lord. I'm speaking to you. I'm trusting you, Lord. You're going to get me through. When you are focused on your anger, refocus on the Lord. When you feel like you've been mistreated, when you feel in feelings of jealousy, when the anger is welling up inside of you, refocus that negative stuff and bring it back to Jesus. Bring it back to the Lord. Ephesians 4:26 says this, Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Over time, in the course of a day, the heat of your anger will cool. And that's the time to make things right with God and with others. Not when you're overheated, but when you've cooled down. I've said some very unfortunate things when I had been red hot. Afterward, I said to myself, You jerk. Why didn't you just wait? Why didn't you pray? Number four, good things can happen when you follow God's prescription for overcoming anger. Ephesians 4:31 and 32. This is for all of us. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, which is an uproar, and evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice, bad behavior. In other words, put it away. In other words, don't go there. In other words, brothers and sisters, the goal for us is to work it out with Jesus' help, not to let it lay around. So here are a few questions for you. Do you want to be miserable? Let me look at your face. Do you want to be miserable? If you do, just hang on to your anger. Do you want to make the people around you miserable? Well, if you do, just hang on to your anger. Do you want to destroy your friendships? Well, if you do, just hang on to your anger. Do you want to destroy a family member, never to hear from them and never to see them again? Just hold on to your anger. Do you want to split a church, steal its joy, hurt your Christians and brothers? Just hold on to your anger. It'll all come your way. Do you want to destroy your testimony? Just hold on to your anger and work it out in a negative way. And do you want to hurt the cause of Jesus Christ, your Savior? Just hold on to your anger. Because you see, people are watching us. And they have some expectations. Some of them are not right. Some people think a Christian should never get angry. Did I say to anybody this morning, don't get angry? No. I said, be angry, but sin not. I'm just quoting God's word. Find a healthy way to deal with your anger. Find a positive way to deal with your anger. Find a better way to deal with your anger. Pull up angry emotions as they spring up early. They're like weeds, okay? Let's make it a garden thing. David, I'm doing this for you. God, I'm thinking about you out there working out in the weeds and all the other stuff you deal with. It's like weeds. Okay, they're easy to pull up, but if you let that anger sit inside of you and grow, it becomes what the Bible calls a root of bitterness. Now you know what you're dealing with. You're not dealing with those little weeds anymore. You're dealing with multiflora bushes. Have you tried to get them up? That's what you're dealing with, emotional multiflora that just will stay in there and doesn't want to go out. Whatever angers you, conquers you. Whatever angers you, conquers you. There is a better way. Is your heart softened this morning to come to the Lord with your anger, with your disappointment, with whatever negative feelings you have in your heart and surrender them to Jesus Christ? That's all He wants. You're a believer. The Holy Spirit's already in here. You have the great helper, the great peacemaker inside of you. The one who can change your disappointment, who can change your anger, who can uproot your bitterness, who can put a smile on your face, who can help you to get through those moments when you want to just blow up. He can do it. And together, you both can do it. God loves you. He will never abandon you, no matter how many times you fight back. Come just as you are. Bring those points in your life that are weaknesses. Bring your anger. Bring your bitterness. He'll deal with it. And together, you will be conquerors and not conquered. Lord, we thank You this morning for the positive promises of Your Word. We don't have to be victims to ourselves or imprisoned by our anger. That we can overcome and be overcomers. That You haven't abandoned us to the world, to our sin, and to ourself. And go before us, dear Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.